Hey, I'm Dan Bover from Entrepreneur, and welcome to How Success Happens, the show where I get to talk to people who fearlessly chase their dreams, and if need be, dropkick, curb stomp, or deliver a flying elbow to anyone who gets in their way, such as the case for today's guest, WWE superstar Chelsea Green. Chelsea is not only a killer in the squared circle, but like many pro athletes out there, is branching out into acting, fashion, and all kinds of other less dangerous pursuits than getting punched in the face. Let's find out how she got started, where she's going, and why don't I just welcome her before she tells me to shut the hell up. Welcome, Chelsea.
Thank you for having me. Oh my gosh, what an intro.
For the listeners, this has been a little bit of a journey. Chelsea, I know you've had a crazy day, but my day started where I heard this little hissing sound that resulted in fire trucks coming to my house. My internet went out for a little while, so you're getting a really good version of me.
Oh, me too. I've been traveling nonstop. I was stuck in LaGuardia Airport last night. I slept over in New York. I was on my way to Chicago and got rerouted to Florida. Like, it's a lot going on over here, too.
So what you're telling me is that the life of a professional wrestler is totally glamorous and smooth sailing the whole way.
Of course. Oh my gosh, it is everything you ever dreamed of and more.
I want to hear all about that aspect of things. But first, we always ask people, what's your definition of success? And how has that changed over the years for when you maybe wanted to break into this industry to where you are now?
I think at the beginning of my career, my success was always determined by the amount of money that I had in my bank account. And then once I got to a point where I was financially stable, comfortable, had a great savings account, I more so think about taking care of other people now. Like, what can I do to take care of my future kids or my family and my sister, or my parents? Like, all that now I take into account. It still relies heavily on my bank account. I've always been that way. But it's just more so about sharing the wealth as opposed to hoarding it now.
Yeah.
I always have been one of those people also where I set goals, and the minute that I hit that goal, I am immediately on to the next.
Yeah.
So now I don't even really think about that as much as I used to, just because I noticed that I was so focused on the next thing that I couldn't enjoy what was happening in the moment.
Oh, that's cool.
And I had to reframe that mindset a little bit and just try to enjoy what was happening now, because in wrestling, it can be here today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. Was there a moment or was there a thing that made you like flip that switch to say, wait a minute, let me just enjoy this moment?
I definitely realized the type of person that I was when I won the United States Championship. And that was actually just this past December. I realized, like, why am I not just enjoying this moment? I was the first ever United States Women's Champion. That's huge. That's a moment that nobody can take away from me, that WWE put on me for a reason, trusted me with for a reason. And I was so focused on what next? What am I going to do with this reign? What am I going to, like, how am I going to beat this goal? And luckily, I had Christmas vacation and I had to slow down. I was forced to just relax and spend time with family. And that's when I've tried to reframe my mindset. And now in hindsight, looking back on my career, I spent years and years trying to get from the independent scene to WWE. And when I got to WWE, I was so quick to say, okay, what now? When am I going to be on TV? When am I going to win a championship? When are they going to trust me with longer matches? And I was very unhappy. And reframing the mindset allowed me to just live in the moment and be kinder to myself.
That's great. That's awesome. I'm glad you are kind to yourself, because who knows what damage you could do to yourself. We've seen what damage you do to other people in the ring. I'm curious, what were you like as a kid?
You'd have to ask my mother, and she's here somewhere, but I don't want to ask her. Definitely always determined, and I had jobs from a young age. I was always working, always trying to make money, always trying to afford like a car when I was younger, or an apartment, or trips. I was always traveling. So I don't think that much has changed, honestly, from 20 years ago to now.
Yeah, I guess the distance between you being a kid and me being a kid is slightly different, but
thank you. I'm so young.
Were you the type that would get into scraps every now and again?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But I don't think that is what got me into wrestling.
Yeah.
But I definitely was a lot rougher in high school than I am now. I have learned to be a little bit wiser with my words. We don't use fighting words anymore. But I think more so my theater, dance, and athletic background is what led me to WWE and professional wrestling.
Yeah. Was there a moment that you can pinpoint? Like, how did, or was it an evolution? How'd you get here? What put you on this track?
So I was always in, like I said, theater, acting, dance, and all sorts of sports growing up. And then I went to school for kinesiology in University of Calgary. And after the first year, I felt like I was not being called to school. Like I needed a break. So I took a year off and I traveled around the world. I lived in Australia by myself. I traveled through Europe with my sister. And when I came back, I thought, okay, let me try this one more time. Let me go back to school, go and try out health sciences, because I really wanted to be a personal trainer. And right around that time is when the online virtual training world really popped off, and everyone was trying to be a trainer and everyone was trying to sell workout plans, and social media was really getting going. And I started worrying, like, maybe I'm getting into kind of a market that was way too saturated. And I didn't have the true knowledge yet. I hadn't graduated with a degree in kinesiology yet. And I felt like maybe I was going to be behind by the time that I did graduate with that. Mm. And so I was on my computer doing some homework for health sciences, and wrestling came on TV, and I just could not take my eyes off of the screen. And I was like, they're doing everything that I've ever wanted to do combined. Like, they need to be fit and healthy, and they're dramatic, and they have a theater background, and they're acting, and they're doing stunts, which I loved stunt work. And so they're doing everything. And I really, something triggered in my mind, like, maybe that is what I need to be doing. And I started Googling it, researching a little bit instead of doing my homework. And there was a professional wrestling school 10 minutes down the road from me.
Oh, wow.
It felt like kismet. It was perfect. So I called up the trainer and we spoke on the phone, and I enrolled just for fun in the class that was going to be starting a month later in January of 2014. And after Christmas, I was still in school and I was still bartending and doing everything else that I was already doing. But as a hobby, I decided to take wrestling training, and I stepped in the ring and I immediately knew, this is it. This is absolutely it. And I dropped out of school and the rest is history.
That's awesome. What a great story, but also what a great lesson. There's twice in that story you just told, at least, where you had an instinct that, I need a break, this isn't the right thing, and you followed your instinct, and wow, what a great result.
Yeah, I think growing up, like, my parents always guided me in the right direction, but I was never forced in any direction. If I wanted to try something, whether it be sport, whatever, I could try it, and if I didn't like it, it was like, give it a couple more weeks or give it a month or whatever, and if you don't like it by then, you don't have to do it. I was never forced to do anything, so that has led me to constantly try new things and not be afraid, but also not be afraid to say, this isn't for me, because that's okay. I don't think quitting necessarily is okay, but I think trying until the point where you're like, okay, this isn't my calling, this is not for me, is okay. And I've learned that within wrestling as well. There are certain things that I do that are amazing and probably better than others. And then there are certain things where I have no business doing that. Like, I have no business doing flips. I have no business leaving my feet in wrestling and in the ring, and that's okay.
Got it. I'd love to talk to you a little bit. We talk at Entrepreneur all the time about branding and building a personal brand, and obviously branding is a huge part of what you do to develop your character. How did you develop your wrestling persona, and can you give us all a little taste of your wrestling persona right now?
I've gone through a couple of evolutions. I've been wrestling now for 11 years. When I first started, I was really big into the WWE Divas, which was very much look cute, sparkles, tan, minimal outfits. And that's no knock on them. That's just the way it was in the early 2000s. And that's what I was attracted to. I loved it. And then from there, when I got my first contract with TNA, I became what was known as the hot mess, Laurel Van Ness. And that was a bride who was left at the altar, a little cuckoo, a little deranged, had some PTSD, flies off the handle all the time. And that's when I stepped into character work and stepped out of caring about the moves and looking cool. And so I figured out that was like the niche that maybe a lot of women weren't doing, that I could fall into, that could I could keep my job. There was job security in what I was doing there. So I did that for a couple of years. And then I evolved into a character on a program called Lucha Underground. And she was very dark. Her name was Reclusa after the spider. She was very dark and edgy, super sexy. I went back to the minimal outfits, but like very hardcore. And that was cool. I did that for a little bit. And then now this new evolution of Chelsea has gone from being a Karen, a very annoying character, a very over-the-top character, a very obnoxious complainer, to a very patriotic character. Yes. I've now been the United States champion, like I said, so I was very patriotic and pro-USA. And this new iteration with Ethan Page that I've been doing over the past few weeks has been pro-Canada. So I'm back to my roots. I've gone full circle, and I'm more me now than I ever have been, but the volume is turned up. And I think that is the beauty of professional wrestling, is when you fall into the character that you're supposed to be, the character that you fit into perfectly, it's actually usually you turned up to 100.
Can you give people some insights into, like, you know, when you have these rants and these amazing things you're saying in the, like, is that off the top of the dome? Is that written? Is it something you thought about a lot before you got out? How does that all come out?
So every wrestler is different. I can only speak to myself. And the reason that I'm having so much fun in this new version of me and the latest time that I've been in WWE, because let me tell you, I've been in and out of WWE numerous times in 11 years. For the past 3 years, WWE has really, really trusted me with my character work. So I am allowed to improv. I'm allowed to go off the cuff. I'm allowed to rewrite my scripts. I'm allowed to do things without scripts. And I think that's why I'm having the most fun.
Yeah.
I love improv. However, I've taken a lot of acting classes, and to be good at improv, you really have to know exactly who you are, who that character is, and you have to write a backstory for yourself. And you can't be going left and right, up and down. Like, you have to know the end point of what you're trying to say. And so I take a lot of inspiration from movies. I've got a lot of things written down on my notes app. But at the end of the day, whatever comes out of my mouth is true to what I'm feeling in that moment and who I am as Chelsea Green in WWE right now. And that's why it's so fun, because not everyone is trusted like that in wrestling. And not everyone gets to rewrite their scripts and have the faith of WWE backing them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's amazing. You're quite good at it. And you're in that pantheon of, you know, Randy Savage and all these, Rowdy Piper and all these people are just like insane. You watch these clips, and I'm an older gentleman, but I remember it back then too.
I mean, that was the iconic era, and I can't wait to tell my husband that you said that.
Awesome, awesome. So talk to me about, all right, so you got a match coming up, I don't know, in an hour. What is your pre-show ritual, or do you have one?
A lot of people do. I don't, and I'll tell you why. We always have the craziest schedules. No day is ever the same, and it doesn't matter that I show up to SmackDown at 1 p.m., which is our call time, and that I'm at the ring by 3 p.m., and that I'm on screen anywhere from 8 to 10. That doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, last week I was in France, the week before I was in Dublin, Ireland. In between that, I was in Philly and Boston. Every venue is different. We have different appearances. We have different meet and greets. Every single week I'm doing things for WWE France, WWE Saudi Arabia. So I never want to rely on a routine or a schedule that's going to get messed up on a show day. So I try to stay very easy breezy. It's very hard, but I try to stay easy breezy and go with the flow and know that no matter what, I have been doing this for 11 years. And when I get out into the ring, I am in character mode. I'm in Chelsea Green mode. And there's nothing that could ever throw me off. Like I've been in the ring with every situation. I've broken bones in the ring. I've unfortunately had concussions in the ring and I had other people been injured in the ring. I've had time cut in the ring. I've had time added to it. Wow. I have had every single thing possible happen in these 11 years. So I don't think any pre-match ritual is going to make or break that. My girlfriend Piper, who is my slagent, my special agent with me, who comes out with me. I've got Piper and Alba. We do like to do a little something before we walk through the curtain. Mm. We do two things. One, we put our hands together like this and we give each other little words of affirmation. We say, we're pretty, we're rich, we're sparkly, we're tanned, we're beautiful. Everyone loves us. We're going to kill it. We do that before we go out. And then one thing right before my music hits that I like to say to the girls that I've said now for 3 years to them and they find it so funny is, girls, in 10 minutes, we're going to be done and on our way to bed. Because at the end of the day, like, we are never out there for longer than 10 minutes. It's not that serious. You guys are watching me play fight in my underwear with my best friends. It's not that serious.
That is awesome. I love that.
You just have to make light of these situations because the world is so serious right now, like with cancel culture and with everything going on in the world, with politics, with, you know, just there's just so much that's heavy. And for those 10 minutes, all I want to do is what I love and all I want you to do is enjoy watching me do what I love.
Beautiful. Well, I was gonna ask you, but I think you just answered it. So the fight's over, the show's over. How do you calm down? How do you relax?
You know what? It's really hard. A lot of us in the, I want to say wrestling industry, but it might be show business. But I think wrestling, the live crowds spike our cortisol levels so high that our bodies are all sorts of screwed up. All of us can sleep on planes the minute that the engine turns on, but we cannot sleep in a bed after wrestling. We just can't. And we could be up all night until our flight at 5 a.m. and then we're on to the next city and we're doing it again. So obviously there's a couple of things that I do to unwind, and that's just my nighttime routine, my self-care, my skincare, my like taking an edible, eating a bag of popcorn, just all the things that you want to do to decompress. But at the end of the day, the adrenaline is so high.
Yeah.
I say all these things, but I'm up for hours after the show, and it's so fun to be able to sit in my bed and hear from my family and friends who have watched me all over the world and get to see what I do live. Like, I love to decompress by chatting with all them as well. And that's not really decompressing, is it? Like, that's riling me right back up.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to ask you, just because wrestling has been around for a long time, and I'm just amazed, you know, dipping in and out of it, the creativity. How do you make something new again? It feels like, how many different ways can you slam somebody's head into something? But you find a way.
Do you know what? You can always pull inspiration from something. When I was the hot mess, I actually pulled inspiration from going out on date nights and watching drunk girls. And I'm telling you, there's inspiration in everything right now with the way that the world is, with politics, obviously with my United States character, I pulled inspiration from that. With Reclusa and Lucha Underground, I pulled inspiration from a lot of female superheroes. Mm. So there's always something. And also, we love nostalgia right now. Nostalgia is so big. We're bringing everything back from the 90s. We're listening to all the 90s songs. Everything has a research. I'm not afraid to look at something that has been already done before and say, okay, now how can I bring that back? Give people a sense of nostalgia, but do it in my own way. And I think that's what I'm doing by bringing back this, the love of divas, the love of a beautiful woman in a sparkly set of gear getting beat up and being over the top. I think people loved that in the 90s. They loved it in the 2000s. They're going to love it in 2025, 26, 27.
That's awesome. Yes, absolutely. Fantastic. So you mentioned, yes, we do live in a sensitive era. People are not afraid to share what they like and more particularly what they don't like. What have you learned? Because I think this is a good lesson for anyone in any pursuit, like dealing with criticism, dealing with vocal fans who aren't digging something you said or did. How have you learned how to deal with that?
Gosh, there's so many things that I could say about that. First of all, I'm still learning. I am always learning because at the end of the day, like, it's ever changing, and the things that people find unacceptable to say right now, like maybe last year it was okay. And so Obviously I try to keep up with that. I try to educate myself, listen. It's hard to listen. Sometimes we all just want to talk and we want to hear the sound of our own voice. But I think just like listening, and I'm educated all the time by the women at work. We have every single, oh my gosh, everyone from different backgrounds. We have every race, ethnicity, religion, size, shape. And I'm always trying to listen to them and educate myself that way. There's also something to be said about the internet isn't always real.
Yes.
You might be canceled on Twitter, but you're not going to the grocery store and having, you know, tomatoes thrown at you. Like sometimes you need to log off and you need to touch grass. And I'm reminded that often when I am, you know, experiencing a lot of hate on social media, specifically Twitter, and then I go out to make my entrance and I'm cheered.
Right.
And I quickly realize, oh yeah, that's actually the minority Twitter that are loud and vocal and negative and want to cancel. Most of us, most of the world, like, we just want to live in a positive environment. So sometimes setting those boundaries and logging off or deleting the app or allowing yourself to hand over your social media passwords to somebody else, it works wonders. However, there are times when we just need to sit back, listen, and educate ourselves as well. And I try to do my best to listen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I haven't heard the password one before. That's a... I've heard the delete, but not...
I've done it recently.
So you mentioned your husband. He's also quite a notable wrestler in the WWE world. How does being married to someone in the same industry as you work? You guys exchanging moves, critiques, or do you like say, we are not talking about wrestling when we're not wrestling?
So we've been together now 9 years. And I would say for the first probably 5 or 6 years, we had a no talking about work policy. We started our relationship not discussing work. We were in different companies. We've been ships passing in the night for almost our entire career when it comes to work. So I just don't necessarily think that we need to eat, sleep, breathe, and then come home to work.
Yeah.
However, that has changed since my husband was released from WWE and has been on the independent scene, because on the independent scene, you're really forced to put more thought into what you're doing. Everything has to be very intentional in order for you to stay relevant and continue to get booked and continue to make money. So we do talk about it a little bit more now, but I don't want our relationship to ever be based around wrestling, because at the end of the day, when I have kids, I won't be able to wrestle.
Yeah.
Well, there's a chance I can come back to wrestling, but for a few years, I won't be able to wrestle, and I don't want a relationship that's only based on work. We've got a lot more than just work going on. I'm actually currently sitting at our new house right now that we're building.
Oh, wow.
So we're working on that. We try to travel and we try to take vacations, and we are big Disney lovers. So we go to Disney all the time. And there's other things in life besides work. I have to keep reminding myself that, though. Just know that when I'm saying that to you, I'm also reminding myself of that.
I'm starting to pick that vibe up just a little. No, that's great. I mean, it's great advice, obviously. For whatever you're doing in life, that is great advice. So we get listener questions. People write into howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com, or they send in a comment on our social media feeds. So if you're listening to this and you want to be part of this, do those things. So we got a question for you from Ken P. He says, how do you mentally deal with physical injuries when your body just isn't cooperating with what you want it to do?
So far, my body has cooperated for 35 years. However, obviously, the inevitable happens, which is injuries. It's an occupational hazard. And I've obviously dealt with a lot of those. I've broken my wrist 3 times, my collarbone once, my nose 5 times, my cheekbones. I mean, that's another thing where if
that
work...
That sounds so... Cheekbone. Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. It's Woo. Not great. It's another thing where I just go back to work cannot be your everything. You need to have hobbies and interests and things that fuel your fire outside of work, because that happens. We trip and fall and we break bones. We have to take time off, whatever it is. And I think you need other things in life besides just work, or else mentally it's extremely challenging, and it's going to be challenging no matter what. But whenever I've been out with injuries, I try to take time for myself and focus on self-care and traveling, which is, I just love traveling so much and exploring new places of the world. And that's what I do to take my mind off of the sad things in life.
Yeah. No, that's great. Great advice. God, you got great advice. You should be, I don't know. I'm sure you've mentored up and coming wrestlers. What's the biggest question you always get asked?
I think everyone just asks me, like, how do you get to WWE? Like, how did you get here? You know what I mean? And I always tell people the same thing. Like, at the end of the day, everyone's story is different. We have people that have come from all walks of life. It's amazing. But if you want something enough, you're going to do it. You're going to get it. And I was from an island off the coast of Canada with absolutely no one that I knew that was into wrestling, that even watched wrestling. And somehow here I am living in Florida with my dream job. If you want it, you'll figure it out.
That's great. All right. Let us now move into the speed round of the How Success Happens show. Here we go. Ready or not. What is a habit that you are happy to have and one that you wish you could ditch?
My good habit is that I have amazing oral hygiene.
Okay.
And I can't stand when people don't. A habit that I wish I could ditch that I'm working on right now is energy drinks and sugary drinks.
More of them or less of them?
Less. Oh my gosh, less. Less.
You don't seem to be the type of person that would need an energy drink. I'm just putting that out there.
I don't, and that's the problem. That is, I don't need it.
All right. Well, you talked a little bit about this already, but I wanted something super specific. You wake up in the middle of the night, you're can't fall back asleep. How do you turn your brain back off?
I watch terrible reality TV. Something that just makes me think about nothing.
Okay. That's fantastic. So you mentioned you were protective of your fame and fortune at first, but tell us one fun, crazy thing that you bought with your WWE dough.
I would say the fact that I bought 2 houses this year.
Okay.
I bought my first investment property, and then my husband and I are building our dream home. So that's pretty crazy.
That's pretty good.
I feel very blessed.
That's fantastic. Okay, so what's something that most people love but you secretly hate?
Coffee, yeah. And I still drink it. I still go out with all my girlfriends all over the world. We go to coffee shops. We sit at coffee shops. I drink iced lattes, and I hate them.
Yeah, maybe you get a tea or something. I don't know.
I know. That, and then one other thing, it would be designer bags. And you best believe I still go to Louis Vuitton and buy a designer bag. And I'm like, why do I keep doing that?
That's good. Okay, what's something you wish the algorithm would stop feeding you? Anything weird pop up in your feed?
Animal videos, because I now have 3 dogs and 3 cats, and 4 out of 6 are adopted, and I do not need another one.
Okay.
And I just tried to get my husband to get a 7th. Thank God he said no.
Okay, that's good. Okay, and then finally, if you could get in the ring with one legend of wrestling, who would it be?
Kelly.
Easy. Oh, boom.
Kelly, definitely.
Fantastic. So, Chelsea, people can follow you on social. Is that the best way for them to keep up with all the things you're up to?
Yeah, look, I could give you all my social handles, but I don't know them. But look me up in the blue check mark that says Chelsea Green is me. I love posting on Instagram. I'm not much of a Twitter girly, but I try. I post everything for work. But if you want to know me, who I am to my core, Instagram.
Excellent. Awesome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your crazy schedule. Now I feel like a wimp for complaining about my dog barking too much or whatever, but really cool talking to you. Let's hope that the cheeks stay intact. I don't want to hear about any more injuries, but yeah, really great talking to you. And you're the United States champion. What's next for you?
You know what? The world championship is next for me. Let's put that out. Let's manifest a world title.
Boom. Let's make it happen. Awesome. All right. Thank you so much. This was great.
Thank you.
Hey, what's the biggest hurdle that you feel like is getting in the way of your success? Let me know at howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com and I will ask our next guest.